Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care and Mount Zion Baptist Church. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Let me welcome the guest to the show this morning. Now, is it Savon?
Yes, that's perfect.
Oh, I got it. Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, I hope I do not screw her name up, Lord. How are you doing, Dr. Funches Wade?
I'm really good. How about you?
I am excellent, and we're so happy to have you with us on the show today. And I must say, your new book, You Gotta Let God Finish. You look as if the Lord is in control on this cover, okay?
Looks like he knows what he's doing,
yes,
right?
Yes, I mean, really. And it tells the story to me, just the photo, because you look like you finally got settled in your head that God is in control. And it just you just have that confident look on your face.
Sharon, you got it. You absolutely got it. That was actually intentional to show. I actually wanted to show the world what God has done.
Well, I'm glad. I just looked at the. I was like, okay, I recognize that look. That's somebody who has gone through a lot, and the Lord has pulled him out on the other side. Now,
yep.
You are a renowned public speaker, professional counselor, legal professional, advocate for survivors of domestic violence, and author, entrepreneur, and a mother. So your plate is extremely full.
My granny always says.
It is totally full. I don't even see how you can juggle all those things, but obviously you have been able to do that quite well. And tell us about your foundation that you have in your area.
Well, I have a nonprofit foundation. I am now primarily in the Atlanta, Georgia area, but I still do some work in Florida as well as in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several different things that we do, but a large part of it, especially in the Atlanta, Georgia area where it's more prevalent, is we help survivors of domestic violence, transitional housing, providing temporary housing when people are fleeing, things like that. Counseling, obviously, that's being provided. We take donations and things like that because there are literally people who have to leave with nothing but the clothes on their back. That mm-hmm. happens often. So we're doing that. We also offer a counseling component for children because the effect on them is devastating, even if it seems to be that they're unaffected
mm-hmm.
at the tender age that they are.
Mm-hmm.
We still address that because that sometimes later up shows up later in life, when they're married. So we try to, nip that in the bud early on and help them, to transition out of that violent environment into a place that's safe.
Yeah. So how long has this been around? And you said you're in Atlanta now, and it was in Florida?
Yeah, it originally began in Florida, and I had a different mission then. No, that was my first book. This is the second book I released. I'm actually writing a third.
Okay. What, the first one was about your past relationship?
No, my first one was about my life, and so my relationship that I was in included, obviously, was a part of my life, but it actually takes you from the very beginning of my life all the way up until that point that I was at when I concluded, the book.
And your ex-husband, is an NBA star, and quite naturally, I'm sure a lot of people were, the book was flying off the shelf so they could see what they could see. But during that 2-year period, obviously, there's something that has changed in your life or in you, or was that part of your journey to find the relationship you have now with the Lord?
Oh, yeah, no, I had it when I wrote that book. It's ever evolving, and it's growing, and thankfully getting better. I'm becoming more mature. I'm learning more. But I did. I had a relationship with God then. If it wasn't for the relationship that I had with God, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have survived it after that marriage didn't survive. I'm crystal clear on that. There's a few things in life I have question marks about, and there's several that I have exclamation marks. And I'm certain that without the Lord's help, I was not going to make it. It's as simple as that.
Now, take us through some of the book and your story so we can understand fully the testimonial you have, because your book is a guide to help people find purpose. And apparently, you were in during these trials and tribulations and et cetera. You had some good times, but you also had a lot of tribulation in your life and sensation, however you want to look at it. Give us some insight.
Well, I did have a pretty rocky time during my life, and what made it more difficult, I always say that I was going through a divorce, which can be difficult enough. I mean, experts have said there's nothing worse except for death. And so when you go through something like that, but you do, like what happened to me, and that was being divorced in like a glass house. The whole world was watching, and instead of just watching, for some reason, many felt to watch and judge at the same time. And so I had children that I was trying to shelter from that, and at the same time, I was broken to pieces myself. And so that was at the moment that I remembered God. It's not like I just was first introduced to God. It's just that I went off in the turn that my life took into that direction of like the life of the rich and famous. Mm-hmm. I forgot God. And when hell broke loose in my life, I remembered him. And contrary to popular belief, if somebody's at that place right now, I'd like to share this. God was not there to tell me, "I told you so," not one time. People did that. But God never did that. I never one time heard from God where you should have, could have, would have. It was nothing like that. And when I got to learn the love of God for myself, I wasn't sitting in church. I wasn't hearing somebody preach from a pulpit, but I had a personal encounter, and God spoke for himself. I got to know him for himself and his love and his compassion. I haven't been the same again. I've made mistakes, plenty, even this morning, in fact, because I just got up early. That's all you got to do. Get up early. And around about this time, he's made several mistakes. That's just human nature. Yeah. But I've learned to relax in God's presence, know that I'm unconditionally loved. And God has taken that and built me up so that I can give to others what he gave to me, and bear witness to the truth of who he really is. Because I think a lot of people are hearing a lot of madness, a lot of religious, you know, teachings and things like that. And like I said, I've had the opportunity to have a personal encounter, and I want to share that because I'm really watching it transform people's lives. I found my purpose, and come to find out, it was not just to be some NBA player's wife. Now, there's nothing wrong with being married, nothing wrong with being married to an NBA player. If God sends you, perfect. It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. But it is something wrong with having your identity wrapped up in that and in that alone.
Right.
And so I've been able to help women who are part of the same lifestyle, whether it's basketball, football, Hollywood, you know, things like that, because people are looking for someone who understands. They're looking for someone who walked through that fire.
Right.
And now it's like, come and sit down and tell me that I'll make it. And I actually may believe you because I know you walked through this same journey. And so I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying this side. This side mm-hmm. of my life much more than what I just actually came through.
So
I'm excited about this new book.
Well, Dr. Siobhan, being so, you know, most people, they see the trappings. You know, you were married to a very rich and famous man, and they see the trappings and forget about God. you know, and but that you're saying the opposite had happened for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how, or was your Christianity lost during that time, or your walk with the Lord, was it lost? You said you still had a relationship, but the focus was not the same.
Yeah, no. Well, during the period of time when I was married to my ex-husband, we both started off, you know, going to church together and things like that. But like I said, I forgot about God. Thankfully, He didn't forget about me. And so I just got caught up. I got caught up in the lifestyle. Everything that glittered seemed like it was gold to me, at least from my angle. That's what I saw. And the lifestyle is very fast. If you don't have a lot of time to slow down and think, it's very noisy. You don't have much quiet time. It's a constant going. And I mean, I dove all the way in head first. And so I let go of God's hand. I forgot about Him. It was almost like I prayed and I asked God to answer my husband's prayers to get to that point. Mm-hmm. And after God did it, shortly after, I sort of had an attitude like, thank you, Jesus. That's all I'll be needing for me. And I went on about, you know, my life. And I think a lot of people do it and don't realize that they're doing it. I certainly didn't. I didn't feel like I turned atheist or anything. If you'd asked me, I would have told you all as well.
Yeah.
I haven't been to church in a while. My Bible, the pages are stuck together, right? Well, I may can't locate it right now, but everything is fine. That's surely what I thought. And then reality set in. And so when it did, like I said, I remembered God. And He let me know that He'd never forgotten me. And from that moment forward, even in God, you know, restoring me, and He still is in the process of restoring me, no matter what He's given me materially or opportunities or platforms, I tend not to forget Him.
Well, and, you know, it's interesting that you would say that, you know, as the wife in that relationship, you prayed for the success of your husband. He got it, but that seemed to just really... the prayer was answered, but not probably like what you expected. Because didn't you just say that you know, things went the opposite direction?
Yeah, it did. I had some time. There was a time, and I think it was right to do so, that I prayed to God, you know, that He would touch the man's heart that I was married to and things like that. But God has all sorts of ways of answering prayers, and I've learned this. God never just exactly answers our prayer.
That's
He over-answers it. It's just period, you know. And you just got to trust God. He's used, like, different illustrations to teach me many things. And when we go to a doctor, if something is wrong and broken and hurting, we know enough to go in and say, you know, my arm is aching really bad. Every time I move it this way, it hurts. But we don't really know too much after that. Right, and so we trust the rest of the doctor to get us there. Now, we may be thinking, you know, he wraps it up, we take a couple pills a day, and we're done, and he's saying surgery. And, I mean, we may not want to hear that, but we came for healing, and we left with healing. And so it may not be the route you want to take, but I can assure people that God will get you to a destination greater than one you ever expected.
Amen.
That's for certain, as long as you let God finish. And that's where this book was first out of.
Yeah. Yeah, and that involves a lot of trust. It really does. And speaking of that, when we come back, Dr. Shaban, I wanted to lift some discussion from your section here in your book, Trust the Journey, because that to me is where the center of the relationship is with the Most High, is if you don't trust Him, you know, stuff ain't working, y'all. You know, you're in a relationship with a man, a woman, or whoever. If there's no trust, what kind of relationship do you have? Exactly. My guest is author and speaker, Dr. Shaban Funches Wade. She's sharing her story today of finding God's purpose for your life. Her new book, You Gotta Let God Finish. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Street Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net.
88.1 WFSK FM, Fisk University, Nashville.
This is the first full weekend of December, and this weekend, I'm Blue Time in the City.
It felt so right. It gave me chills and brought tears to my eyes.
That's the PG man, Patrick Green. He'll tell us something he did for Christmas that he's really proud of. And we'll continue our all-Christmas blues and Southern soul music this weekend. Join me, Gene Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blue Time in the City this weekend, right here. Catch Blue Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems from tooth decay to oral cancer are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And our book for today is You Gotta Let God Finish. And that is absolutely the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us. Author and speaker, Dr. Siobhan Funches Wade is the author. This is her second book. And we have been hearing her testimony of her journey, information to strengthen, hopefully strengthen you out there. If you're on your Christian journey and, you know, just unhappy and don't understand how the Lord operates and all that kind of stuff, everybody has a story to tell. And we are happy to have her on the show today to share hers. Now, before the break, Dr. Siobhan, I mentioned the trust factor, and you cover that in your book, Trust the Journey. Tell us what that part is about, please.
Sure. The Lord took me to the life of Joseph, which is in Genesis in the Bible, and Joseph is so depictive of what happens to basically all of us, whether we realize it or not, as believers. God came and he gave Joseph a promise, and it almost seemed like immediately after he did that, hell broke loose in Joseph's life, and it seems to be that he was going in a direction totally opposite of what God promised him. He promised him a position of leadership and authority where he would reign even over his own family, and shortly after that, he betrayed by his brother, kidnapped by force, sold into slavery by his own family, and taken off into literally a nation apart from where he grew up. So he separated his other family members, think he's dead, and it's just gone from bad to worse. And if that wasn't enough, he was falsely accused and then, you know, in prison wrongfully. And so come to find out, all of that was orchestrated, you know, and God was in the midst of even that trouble to lead him to actually where he ruled and was the second in command in all of Egypt. And so it really, God used it to minister to me because I've had certain promises from God as well. And it seemed like almost immediately after, things began to go in a different direction. And the more I trust God and the more I let God finish, the more I realize and can see how God took things, worked it together for my good, took opposition, turned it into opportunity, and even used people that were against me to get me to a place where I needed to be. It's amazing how he does that, but he does that. And that does, like you said, it takes trust.
Yeah. Well, let me say that in my own journey, I noticed a pattern that, you know, throughout scripture, that is throughout mankind, our history is that same scenario that you used about Joseph's life in to describe what you were discovering in your book is the same thing that happens with everybody. And people don't recognize it or spend enough time in it to recognize exactly what's going on, because it seems like, you know, the Lord, if it's good, why change it? If the plan works and has a goal and works. But I see the same thing that you're just describing about how that scenario worked for Joseph, worked for others in the Bible, worked for you. It's worked like that for so many people. So that plan is just, it's in us, y'all. It's in us. And how long in your Christian journey life did it take you to figure that out?
You know, I think that it took me a while, but people around me, ministers who've been in the ministry for like decades and things like that, I hear from people all the time, family and friends, that say, I'm hearing from you, and it reminds me of such and such, you know, or they'll say something like, you know, I just heard Pastor Joel Osteen preach this, or I just heard Pastor Joseph Prince say that he had this same revelation. They're calling me in all hours of the night saying, didn't you tell me that like 6 months ago? And so they all feel like God is doing a very quick work in my life and maturing me and equipping me in what took other people several decades and what he did in my life in about one decade. And so for me, obviously, you know, one decade of waiting on God can feel like, oh, are we still waiting? Right? I felt it heavy at times, and that's also where you got to let God finish change from. But other people around me who can have a different perspective, an even better perspective, because they are not going through all the emotional things that I was going through, obviously, were able to tell me, Savon, God is really doing what he's doing in your life very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Right? It didn't feel like that to me, but does it ever feel like that?
Yeah. Well, and let me ask you this, because I'm trying not to be too dippy in your business, but I do have to, you know, because I think there's a lot to learn from some of what you've gone through. If you type your name in on Google, a lot comes up, okay?
Right.
And some of it is not flattering.
Right.
And now, as I'm hearing you tell the story, and you said a decade, you're seeing all this stuff and you're experiencing all these things and going through them. How hard was it for you to keep focus on your eyes on the prize, so to speak, you know, your relationship with God? How hard was it for you to know that in the end you were going to have peace and you know, be with the Lord, is going to be the finisher of everything for you? How was it? What kind of process was that for you?
You know what I learned, and this you can take this and run with it. It's priceless. It seems simple, but it's very powerful. Mm-hmm. God told me very plainly one day, you cannot control other people. You can control yourself.
True.
So here goes. You can't stop people from saying what they want to say, whether true or not true. You can't stop that. But what you can control is what you'll listen to, right? And you have a decision to make. You can listen to people who don't even know you. If you were standing in the same grocery store line as them, you could do that. You could give that attention if you want to. Or you can listen to me, who bled and died for you. So I had a choice to make. And I decided to listen to God. And I see how God turned that into good. Because what it has done is, there is a powerful anointing on my life to focus. We are like, and when you call by God to do something, you can almost guarantee this will be the number one assignment against your life, and it's distraction. God used that part of my life like a training, like he did with Joseph. Joseph was accused of rape. He was a man of integrity. That's one of the most heinous crimes you can be accused of is rape. And so he this is a man who loves God. He's following God. And out of all the things they could be saying about him, they're saying that he raped somebody. Joseph had a choice to make, right? You fold up and die under this accusation, or you keep trusting the God that promised you he was going to get you to this particular destination. He didn't promise you anything about the journey, but he did make a promise about the destination. And you got a decision to make, Joseph. You got a decision to make, Savon. You got a decision to make, Sharon, and listeners, right? Are you going to believe the naysayers who don't even know you, or are you going to believe God who knows you better than you know yourself and loves you so much that he'll die for you? And God used all of that for good. I don't have thin skin anymore. I'm much tougher now. People are like, did you hear what somebody said? And I can laugh. I literally can laugh. I'm not worried about my children anymore. That was hard for me at first. I kept thinking I didn't want it to hurt them. You know, my oldest son even got to the point of, like, fighting because of someone saying the wrong thing about his mom. And so I was very, very concerned about that. And then I had to learn you have to not only trust God with your life, you have to trust your children to God as well. Because as much as you love them, Savon, you'll never love them as much as God does. So sit back and relax, because even if you left this place, right, God is still God in their life. And he knows how to get them to where they need to be without your help, as important as you think that is. And so I've learned to just totally rest and trust God. I've learned, obviously, to forgive, right? Even the unforgivable, right? I've had to forgive reporters, right? But I have learned that God used that. And that was meant for evil, like Joseph said in his life. Don't worry about it. I forgive you. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. A lot of things that my ex-husband was involved in, the lawyers and publicists that he had, they meant it for evil, but God himself has come and told me why he allowed that and the plan he has for it, and it's glorious. So today, for the first time publicly, I want to thank them, right? I just want to thank them for being a part, right, of me reaching my destiny, because that's exactly what God did. So I just feel, you know, you can just choose what you want to focus on. And even if people are talking, you can choose what you want to listen to, what you want to give your time and attention to.
Yeah, well, and I will say that's powerful that you forgive them, because, you know, that truly means that you are speaking from your heart, because it's hard. People have a great deal of difficulty offering forgiveness, you know, to people that they have hurt. They, you know, 9 times out of 10 won't do it. But, you know, that says a lot. Because those people were getting used to help you get stronger.
Yep. You know it.
I mean, I'm just sounds to me. I mean, I don't know all the story, but I was like, okay. Because I can see how they're, you know, enemies in the camp and all that kind of stuff. I can see how that would be used to destroy a person.
Yep.
And that's kind of what some of the stories, how they are written, or that's why I wanted to handle this in a certain way, because I'm not one of those people. And, you know, everybody's got some history. And he and she who's without history, go and lay them stones down. You quit lying.
Right. Just lay the stones down.
Yeah, lay them down, because y'all lying. You're lying. You know you're lying, and somebody done something somewhere along the way, and, you know, I'm just keeping it real. X, what do you want to say?
Yes. Dr. Funches, if you could sort of help people who your former mother-in-law was pastor or is a pastor. I don't know the totality of what she does spiritually, but I think that she had a role spiritually in you all's life. Can you sort of explain how you were able to get through that process when there's probably a spiritual mentor that probably, you know, that scenario right there, and having to go through that and come from up under that to find yourself if that makes sense.
You know, I don't know if I had such a unique process. I've not really asked that same question that you have asked. But for my own personal journey, God took me away from people who were, you know, spiritual leaders and counselors and things like that. And this decade that I'm talking about, almost entirely, I was just alone with God. When you hear me speak, when you read the first book, because it doesn't just tell my story. I can't tell my story without talking about God, because he's just a huge part of it, obviously. Author and finisher. And then this new book, You Gotta Let God Finish. I don't have a local church that I belong to. And I'm not telling people to not go to church or anything like that. I'm just saying that for some reason God chose for me to bring me along with him, mm-hmm. wash off of me all the lies I've been told by, mm-hmm. you know, past pastors and spiritual leaders, and to fill me up with the truth, for me to get to know God for myself. Amen. And not in this religious matter.
Amen.
So that's what he did for me.
Amen. I understand Amen. That completely.
I do get that. My journey was sort of the same way. When I'm in ministry, but when I accepted my call into the ministry, I wasn't in church. I didn't belong to a church. Matter of fact, I grew up in it, but at that time, I was just sort of just out there in the world. And so I can relate. And your story is one of the first stories that I've heard where, other than myself, where God sort of just put the clamps on you, just where you were. And just sort of just took you,
Well, that's
and he did it with Jesus too. You know, when he took him to that wilderness alone, that first, and then you see him come like fresh out of the gate from that experience of solitude with God, and then you see him coming and he's healing the sick and the blind are seeing and the leper is cleansed. So I think we had an experience like his, and I think a lot of people are having different experiences because they think they have to.
Yeah,
but you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I will tell you, for my own personal self, I didn't trust, I didn't believe, and so I had to be all the way flat on my face, broke down, and then publicly embarrassed because I was supposed to be somebody and I had nothing, and allegedly. It was supposed to be, you know, on the radio all the time. I hear you everywhere. I see you, but I ain't got a dime, y'all. you know, I'm going to events to cover them so I can get something to eat because I didn't have any money, you know, borrowing clothes from my sister. So, I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I had to go all the way down. Even mm-hmm. though I probably could have called somebody in my family and got whatever I wanted, but that wasn't the point. I had to learn the depths to go down when God can pull you out and you know good and well is him.
Yep.
You know, I mean, when you know good and well, I don't have to be up in somebody's church. I mean, I can so relate to what you're saying because the depth, you're in a depth with the Father that I've never been able to really get from a church.
Right.
When he pulls you out. And forgiveness was so much a part of that. I had to forgive a lot of people who dogged me out.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, that's a tough one, girl.
It's a humbling one.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's very humbling.
And from that experience, did you not see blessings popping into your life for places you didn't expect them?
Yeah, and I see it inside of myself. I'm just free. I feel lighter. It's like you can tell when you're losing weight.
Yeah.
I felt like that spiritually. Like I can tell whatever heaviness that was on me was off of me. Even my skin got lighter. I mean, I had physical manifestations when I decided I'm letting that go and I'm trusting God the way that Jesus did. And it was just as simple as this. He knew that God would deal with it. That wasn't the end of that story, but it was up to the judge. And God used a natural court scenario to help me to forgive. And he said, Savon, when something goes wrong, like somebody breaks in someone's house,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can be very mad, but you're not the prosecutor. You're not the judge. You're not the one that sentences, right? You're the one who goes and you tell what has happened so that justice can be done to them. But you leave it alone after that. And so it's similar with him. And God told me there are people, unforgiveness is like holding the person who did the breaking and entering hostage.
Yes.
They can't be prosecuted. They can't be tried because you're holding them hostage in your house, still harping about what they did. And God knows that it's bad. He knows that it is. But he just has a way of even taking ashes and turning it into beauty. So it's like you said earlier on, and it can't be said enough, it really is about trusting God and hearing from people like yourself and me. I mean, you realize you can trust God. These people have been to the depths. They've been to that dark, dark place. And if God pulled them out and restored them, and you can hear it. You can hear healing. You can hear, like you said, when somebody has truly forgiven and is doing well, or like you said, looking at the cover, you can see it even in somebody's eyes. And that right there will probably be more powerful than just about anything. When people can see proof that this can happen, there is another side to this.
Oh,
there
yes.
is a light at the end of this tunnel.
Amen. Ooh, I hope somebody got that today. Whether you're listening in Nashville or online at WFSKFM.org, or you're going to be listening on the podcast of this broadcast today, y'all need to get that. That was a good word. Now, Dr. Shabon, we come back. I want you to go further into the book. Explain how your chapter, your section on your dreams are coming to pass. And then also you have what it means to have the Lord with you. And use those as an opportunity to bless the audience who may be listening and need to hear an encouraging word, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, today's book is You Gotta Let God Finish. Oh, yes, you do now. For real. And Dr. Shabon Bunches-Wade is sharing her story and her testimony, and, of course, about her new book, You Gotta Let God Finish. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
The 411 with Sharon Kay is also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care at 397 Wallace Road, Southern Hills Medical Center, Building C, Suite 314. Regular dental visits are essential to make sure oral health problems, from tooth decay to oral cancer, are detected and treated in a timely manner. At Integrity Dental Care, your oral health is our paramount concern. We want to make sure your teeth stay healthy, function well, and look great. From regular cleanings and exams to advanced restorative treatments, all of your routine dental needs can be met at Integrity Dental Care. For more information, call 615-445-8700 or online at integritydentalcares.com. Jazzy 88 WFSK says all aboard for a jazzy Christmas on the Cumberland. It's time for the third annual all-inclusive festive evening of live concerts, dining, dancing, and cruising aboard the General Jackson Showboat on Sunday, December 16th. Boarding begins at 5 p.m., launching at 6, returning to the dock at 9. Get into the holiday season with a jazzy Christmas on the Cumberland with two levels of live music aboard the General Jackson, Sunday, December 16th. Tickets must be purchased in advance for singles, couples, and table reservations. For tickets and complete details, go to jazzonthecumberland.com or call 615-731-9001. A portion of the proceeds benefit Excellence in Motion Incorporated. Jazzy 88 WFSK is a co-sponsor of Jazzy Christmas on the Cumberland. Support for WFSK comes from Mount Zion Baptist Church. Don't miss the festive Christmas production at Mount Zion Baptist Church on Wednesday, December 12th at 7 p.m. at Mount Zion's Old Hickory Boulevard location. The event is free and open to the public. For more information, visit mtzion.org.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88, WFSK, Historic Fisk University, on a beautiful Sunday morning, Nashville. If you're listening online, we thank you so much to our global audience at WFSKFM.org, or our folks that are here in the city. Got your radios on. What's up, my people? I am enjoying this discussion this morning. The Heavenly Father's children are up listening and getting an encouraged word this morning from author and speaker Dr. Siobhan Funches Wade. We're talking with her today about her new book, You Gotta Let God Finish. And, oh, if you have a question or comment, our number is 615-329-8810. Now, a couple things I want to back up to before I go into those last two sections, Dr. Siobhan. You had mentioned in the first segment, when I was asking you about your foundation, and the focus of it is for women and domestic violence issues. Is this, did you found it on those particular issues because of something that you personally went through?
Yeah, I did. Like I said, when I went through the process of healing and deliverance, there were several things that I knew something was wrong, obviously. I knew I was hurting. I knew the way that, you know, things were transpiring in my life, it shouldn't be like that. Mm-hmm. But it took for God to use other people at that time to sort of tell me and explain to me what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like a doctor. It wasn't a professional counselor. It was just actually my children were in a Christian private school at the time, and there would be prayer a couple of times a week. And I just decided I would go one morning, and when I did, it was a lady, older black woman there, that prophesied to me and said, you need to forgive your ex-husband. Mm. And she pulled me to the side and, you know, went into detail that I know she wouldn't have unless God revealed to her. It's as simple as that. Mm. I was keeping my mouth closed, and I know that he wasn't saying anything, and so it was my time to be healed and address it. And when she mentioned to me domestic violence, I said, now that part's probably not God, because I'm not, you know, I'll hold my own. Now, wait a minute, right? Like, you're going too far. So mm-hmm. But I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get around it. And I went back home and began to research it and things like that. And then I just began to expose myself to people who are professionals specifically in that field. And those were professionals like doctors and professional counselors and things like that. And just began to discuss with them what had happened and things like that. And it just, my life has not been the same. And from sort of that moment forward, I began to take that foundation in a different direction, because I also realized it's like so many women that are affected by domestic violence and you know, exposed to different elements of that and don't even realize that they are. They're hurting, they're going through things, and they have no idea even what it is. They're just thinking it's a broken relationship, or they have difficulties in a marriage. And sometimes it is just that, but sometimes it's something more that is going on in their life. And my ex-husband came from a home, one of them that was particularly violent at the time. I mean, very violent. There was, even in dating him in high school, there were several 911 calls that I was even involved in, and there were things that I witnessed that happened in his house that I was like, you know, why is she still here? I don't know why she's dealing with this, and his stepmom, but you know, I mean, you never know. Why it's good not to judge, because you never know.
That's true.
What you'll end up going through yourself and what you'll end up putting up with yourself that you thought you never would.
Yeah. That's absolutely true, because I just, you know, you didn't mention it, and I didn't know for sure, because, you know, a lot of times I've noticed over the years of interviewing people, when they put foundations together or nonprofits, it's generally based on something that they've gone through or someone close to them has gone through that they want to, you know, further get the healing, you know, to get the healing started, or to pay back the they're so grateful for whatever has happened to them. And I did not follow up because I was just curious about that. And something else too that you mentioned, that because I know you talked about your son. You have two children.
Yeah, Zaire and
Zion.
Zaire is my oldest son.
Zion's
the youngest one.
How old are the kids?
16. He's 16 years old. That was the one I was mentioning to you about the fight. The other's 11.
Okay, because I was going to say, I bet you he did say, don't you be talking about my mama.
Okay. He was in a rage, apparently.
Okay.
A little bit of a rage.
I can definitely, having a son, I can certainly understand that. And for the other sons out there that love their mothers, don't you be talking about their mama now. That's it. You know, went across the line now.
Yeah, big time.
Now, talk about that portion of you, the mom side, as you were, you know, getting on the journey, and, you know, you still had to deal with the life issues, you know, with raising the kids and, you know, getting, you know, trying to let them learn at the same time, you know, to become, you know, a little more godly, if in case they were or weren't, I don't know. But the children emulate what they see in their parents.
Oftentimes they very much so do. Like I said, once God began to refocus me and remind me of what's most important in life, himself, and to remind me that when he created me, he did so with a purpose and a plan, and not just for me to be existing in life or just being some rich man's wife. And so once he got my focus there, and I was able to, you know, give to my children. Now I'm just giving it to the world, but what the world is hearing now, my children have been hearing for years. When I'm able to give it to them, there's still a lot of struggles in that area. I have difficulty reaching my children, sometimes even for weeks at a time. And so I have to trust God, and with that, I have to let God finish. God's not done with that yet. The Lord is not finished with that yet, and he told me, if it doesn't look like what I showed you, it just simply means I'm not finished. You just got to let me finish then, right? And so that's what I'm doing in that area. But one thing God has shown me, and I mean, it's everything to me, is that he really is in control. And as important as our role is as parents, it's very, very important, vital, in fact, is still not more important than God. And if it's something he cannot do, or a parent even refuses to do, God himself has a way of making sure that it gets done. He's God all by himself. That's the truth. And so I learned people were trying to stop me, and I do believe that that was something very spiritual, in fact, not just something natural, from being a part of, you know, the life of my children, and try to really literally using words like, I had a judge tell me she wanted to break the bond. And to say something like that to a mother, I mean, you're dealing with the devil himself at that point. Are we in family court? What do you mean you want to break the bond? I don't understand. And so, but I've watched God, you know, I've watched a man say one thing, and I've watched God say, nevertheless, this is what I'm doing. And so now people talk, and I'm much more rested. I'm much more relaxed. I still sleep at night, right? Like, people say they're going to do this and do that, and I sleep like a baby, because I've heard it before. I've been there, and I've done that with all these threats, you know, from hell itself. And I've seen God, again, take ashes and turn it into beauty. And it's not that I don't, you know, ever need to be encouraged myself, or it's not that I don't ever cry or things like that. But I've watched God take a very weak woman and turn her into a pillar of strength. And so to me, I know all things are possible with God. And I know that he's watching over Zion and Zaire, and the foundation that was laid in their life, because this thing that happened between me and Dwayne, their dad, was not so much to just try and destroy us. It really was an assignment against their life. I sincerely believe that. And so when God showed me that, obviously I began to pray more and things like that, and I realized that, and this is good for parents to know, sometimes people feel like they need the mother feels she needs the father on board, and the father thinks he needs the mother on board. Yeah. No, when you pray to God, you and God are a majority.
Amen.
And that's all you need right there. If you, God told me, if you don't have it, it's because you don't need it. So people can stop living in fear or thinking they need somebody to agree with them in order for this miracle to take place. Mm-hmm. All you need is God. If you have that, that's more than enough.
Amen.
And I've learned that praying for my children throughout these years. But I'm watching God. I'm watching the hand of God in their life. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about anything outwardly. You know, they're doing well in school and my son is playing basketball. I'm not talking about those things that come and go in life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about their inner self mm-hmm. and their spiritual well-being. And I know that they are supposed to be as dead as I was, and I see them living and thriving, and I hear them quoting scriptures. My oldest son will text me and say, Mom, I'm about to play in a game. Can you play with me?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the devil meant it for evil, but God again.
Amen.
Turned it all for good.
Bless Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, let me, since I hear my music, I know I got to get ready to go. Chapter 9, it is finished. Can you give us an overview of that before we close up?
Sure. God told me that everything that he does, he's done it before the foundations of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just having a heavenly perspective on things. Although Jesus came and was crucified, died for our sins, rose for our justification at a particular point in history and time, the Bible says he was crucified before the foundations of the world. And so it's finished. And God let me know that when he sent his son to do that on the cross, that's not just for our sins, and it's not only for our justification, even though that's most important. It unleashed and opened up every blessing of God.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says all his promises in Christ are yes and amen. And so the truth really is, whatever you have need of or even desire really is finished. It was finished at that moment
yes.
that he was crucified and rose from the dead. It really is already done. Now, a matter of getting it in your hand may be a process of time and going through some things. But as far as the work is concerned, it's finished. And God told me, just imagine it like a movie.
Yes.
The director and writer of a movie knows the end in the beginning. You can get to halfway through it, and you can bite your nails if you want to go through it with anxiety, or you can relax because it'll end the way that the producer said so. He knows he made it. And it's the same way with our life. God knows he made it. You may be on chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to chapter 12, it'll be as God said. So you might as well save your nails and relax. Because God will get you to where you need to be. You just got to let him finish.
Amen, girl. That right there is the title of the
Amen.
Book. You got to let him finish. I mean, you know, and that is so real, because we're going to give up.
Trust the process.
We're going to give up. Everybody's going to say, I can't do this no more, Lord. I can't. I love it. I get it. I got the title. I get it. I get it very well. Oh, yeah, no question about it. You got to let God finish. Yes, you do. And we're just happy to have had you on today for sure. This has really been a wonderful opportunity to find out more about you, number one, and to see the Lord is just working it out. Won't he do it? Yes, he will, y'all. He will. And yes he will. Now Dr. Siobhan, give your contact information and where to find the book, the foundation, and everything.
Sure. You can go to drfunches.com, drfunches.com. That's drfunches.com. And the book is being sold at Amazon and Barnes and Noble, Books a Million, and other book retailers. But you can also get it on the website at drfunches.com.
Okay, okay. Now, we'll put the copy of the cover on the 411 Show website so people can do a recall in case, because I like to put them up there. So those people ask me, you know, lady had on, I just say, go to the website. There's a cover right there. Thank you so much. You have blessed us today. And I ask the Lord to continue to bless and keep you in all that you're doing, and that you have some peace and joy in your life.
That's wonderful. May God continue to do the same for you and even greater. And thank you for having me. It really is my honor.
Oh, thank you so much. And we'll have this up on the podcast in a couple of days. So if you get a chance, be sure to go up on the website, and we'll get that information so you can go back and listen to your testimony, girl.
Yes, perfect. That's perfect. I'll get you that cover, too.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Well, you have a blessed rest of the day, okay?
You too, love. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. That was Dr. Siobhan Funches-Wade. Her new book, You Gotta Let God Finish, and she is the former wife of NBA star Dwayne Wade. And we got through that without saying his name.
Yeah.
I didn't say his
name. Wasn't about him.
No, it wasn't. It's about God. Yeah, it wasn't about him. This is not about basketball and money, fame, fortune, and all the stuff that goes with it. This is about God. He's got cattle on a thousand hills. anyway, thank you so much for listening today. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.